Good to see all that are here this morning. It's wonderful to come together to study, to worship as we have the opportunity to do so. Thought of a lesson this morning is, do you want the crown? And speaking of the crown of righteousness that we have read about there in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the Word of God makes note of a crown a few times throughout the Word of God, and that prize in which we should be striving for. And so I'd like to take time this morning and just go forth to talk about that, talk about the crown in which hopefully you're all striving for. And the first thing I want to do this morning is talk about the descriptions that are brought out, kind of defining what it is we're striving for. In Philippians 3, verse 14, not that it talks about the crown in this verse, but it says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That there is a goal in which we're striving for. There is that which has called us, that upward calling that we all desire to have, that we want to get to heaven, that we want to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we want to live eternally with Him. And so part of that is that crown of righteousness. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you turn along with me over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and looking at verse 25, 1 Corinthians 9, looking at verse 25, here it reads, it says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, why do you obtain a perishable crown? Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable. So one that is eternal. And so what when we talk about the eternal crown that we desire to have, again, we think about the things in which we strive to have for today. You know, it wasn't that long ago, I think I forget who I was talking to, but brought up the point, you know, I have a small tub of a lot of things that I had from when I was in school, from probably elementary and high school. A lot of either medals or plaques, and you know, I have my old high school letter jacket. What do I do with all? You know, it sits there. It's not put up. It's not hanging. Doesn't mean anything. It's not worth anything. And one day, when the earth is burned up, it'll be burned up with it. It's all going to perish. It's all going to dissolve. It's all going to be melted. And again, yeah, it might be fun to look at, point to the kids and say, look how great I was at one time because I played all these sports. But all in all, it doesn't mean a thing. We compete for these things that are going to perish. I'm not saying that you can't do that. You can't enjoy our time here on earth. But what we should truly be striving for is a crown that will last forever. A reward that will last eternally. One of which only can be given to us by our God. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and looking at verse 19. It says, for what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and joy. It says a crown of rejoicing. Again, we think about how much one rejoices when they do well in a sport today. How well one rejoices and celebrates. And who all you go forth and you tell about it and how you show it off. And today we'll post a picture of us receiving it on our Facebook and social media. Here's a true reward worth rejoicing in. One that is, again, it is with our Lord. It's the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that has come. You know, that crown of rejoicing that we desire to have, that we should desire to have, that we should want. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, and looking there, and in verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Again, a crown of glory. The glory that again, when we speak about how we glorify our God, glorify our King, glorify our Lord, and yet somehow as we are obedient, we submit to our God, He is willing to reward us with the crown of glory. Again, that does not fade away. A verse that should be up there, Revelation 2:10 that we read in the scripture reading, a crown of righteousness is how it's worded there. So there's a lot of different ways in which the crown in which we are striving for, the reward, the great medal which we want to have, is described throughout the scriptures. It's imperishable. It lasts eternally. That will be there forever. One that is a crown of rejoicing, a crown of glory. Does it not sound like a reward you should want and strive to have? The question I want to ask, though, is it something that one just gets? You know, we have those who compete today, and in today's world, anyone who competes gets a prize. Everybody who competes, you get a prize for just competing, for just being in participating, a participation award. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11, Revelation chapter 3, I'm looking here in verse 11, it says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Here it brings out that the crown can be taken away. That it's not something that you just get. You get to just keep it. It's something that you have forever. But it says, hold fast to what you do have. Hold fast to the truth. Hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast to continuing. I'm going to get ahead of myself in another point. But continuing in the Word of God. Continue faithful in His service, lest the crown be taken away. Lest you lose out on receiving that reward. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. So it reads here, it brings out, it says, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace." Again, here bringing up the point that one can be competing. One can be on the right track. One can be on the side with the Lord in which we know will be victorious. But it also brings up the point that there are those who have fallen from grace. And this morning's class, Charlie brought out a verse of Peter that went forth again, pointed out how can those who are caught up in a belief of once saved, always saved, when we have these verses that go forth and talk about falling away, those who have lost what they once had. And it's not just something that they, once you obey the gospel, it's automatically yours. Or even better yet, some say you don't even have to obey the gospel, but God is just going to grant it to all. That God's love is just there and everybody's going to be able to get to heaven. I know that there are verses that when we turn to Timothy and see that God wants all to be saved, we turn to Peter that it tells us that all, He wants all to come to repentance. And then we turn to the book of John and see that Jesus died because God loved the world. Right? And so He desires all to be saved. He wants all to get to heaven. He wants to give the crown of righteousness to all. But it doesn't just automatically that we do have to do something. That yes, it is the grace of God. That yes, it is His sacrifice. It is His blood that washes our sins away. We need to understand that there's parts of which we need to do to be able to obtain it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, turn along with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, looking there in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, looking at verse 24, says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do to obtain a perishable crown, but we for the imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Says when we consider how it is done in today's world, and they understood then, we understand it today, that when one competes, they are competing to receive that prize, that they are running the race, and that the gold medal is only given to one person. It says, run in such a way that you may attain. That's the attitude that we need to be striving for, is that we do everything we can to obtain it. Like, you're training to win a prize here on earth. You're disciplining yourself, your body, and doing all that you can to obtain it. And Paul goes into that point, right? He says, I don't run with uncertainty. I don't fight as one who's just punching the air. But he disciplines his body, brings it into subjection. Lest what he's preached to others, and he becomes disqualified. Lest he gets caught up in temptations, and he himself misses out on the prize. And that as he teaches others, that they won't listen to his word because they'll have something to hold against them. We need to discipline ourselves. We need to practice. And we need to continue to go forward in the works of the Spirit. Continue to go forth and do the work that needs to be done. Continue to study. Continue to pray. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And looking there in verse 8. As it reads here, it says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also all who have loved his appearing." So another thing we have to do in order to receive that crown is to love our Lord and Savior, to love him, to be thankful for that sacrifice. Again, it says, not to me only, but to all. And as you go up the verses before that, look what Paul says that I have done, right? He says, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." Right? He didn't just have it handed over to him, but rather he did the work that was necessary in order to obtain it. He says, "I fought the fight. I ran the race. I kept the faith." That we have to be willing to do that. We have to be willing to run and finish the race. We have to be willing to continue to endure to the end. Again, we read Revelation 2 and verse 10. As he writes to the church there, and he's warning them about what's about to happen. He says, "Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison." You know, here they are going through their trials, and they're going through and having other nations come up against them, and that they are truly being persecuted to death. He's saying, "You need to remain faithful till death." And if you do that, you will receive the crown of righteousness. It wasn't just be faithful for a little while, and just be faithful for part of the time, or just when you obey the gospel, but be faithful till death. And it doesn't just become yours. Does at one time in life you made a confession that you believe in Jesus Christ. Because at one time, you were burned Jesus Christ washing your sins away. You have to remain faithful till the end. Again, bring out a similar point there in James chapter 1 and verse 12. James 1 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Again, going back to that, if we love our Lord, what's it saying? You will endure the temptations, that you will remain faithful to the end, and then you will be approved and you will receive that crown of life. Look at these verses again, and as you go through them, making the points, making it clear that work has to be done, that we have to act upon our faith, that we have to act upon our love, that if we love our Lord, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That if we fear God's wrath, we don't want to end up in hell. And we see the conclusion as the psalm brought out, fear God and keep his commandments. We have to endure to the end. We have to remain faithful. Keep on running the race that is set before us. So what does it mean to receive that crown? What are we saying? Again, I believe the description of the crown gives us a lot. The crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of glory. But as we look at it, one that does not perish. It's bringing out that we are receiving a crown. A crown that is usually given to what? Royalty. And it's passed on from king to the prince, and the prince now becomes the king. That we are looking at a crown that is being given to us. Meaning that we are children of God in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Looking there in verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Again, we have this hope that we will be made like our Lord, that we will be like Him. So we don't fully understand what this means on how we will be when we get to heaven, but we hope to be like Him. We hope to be with Him, to live eternally with our Lord. We are children of God. Again, in Romans chapter 8, and if we are children of God, then we receive the reward, the inheritance from our God. Romans 8, verse 16 says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified again." Again, because we're heirs with Christ, in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord, children of God, receiving a crown of righteousness. I think we often forget, we keep our mindset on the fact that we are human, and that all humans fall short of the glory of God. We all sin and fall short. We need to remember that we are also children of God. That we have a spiritual side that one day will be transformed and made new to an eternal soul, whatever it may be, to live eternally with our God. And we need to act as such as we live our lives here on earth. To remember that we represent our Father up above. That we are here representing our Lord and Savior as we go forth and shine His light into the world. And as we do that from day to day, waiting for that day in which the Lord has promised to return, we keep that hope to one day receive that crown of righteousness. And I ask the question, are you striving for that? Are you doing all that you can so that you can receive that crown of righteousness, so that you can receive that crown of glory, that you may live eternally with our Lord and Savior up in heaven? We want to extend the Lord's invitation to any who need to obey the gospel. You're here and you know the truth. You know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that. We want to encourage you to act upon that faith. To make the commitment to God to repent of sins, to put sin behind you. To make that confession that you believe that He is the Son of God. And to be baptized, washing your sins away. You're here and you've done those things, but we can assist you in another way. Will you let it be known? We stand in sin.